Well, no doubt you've been following with interest the account of the bridge collapse. And nothing is more fascinating to me than how this really delineates the difference between us and a lot of other people. You look at trending topics on Twitter and other places, and it's all over the map on everything. Christians are, you know, they pretty much are a little different, only in the sense that they're really looking at this potential cover-up of the origin of the taking down of the Francis Scott Key's bridge. There's a real number of individuals that are looking at this thing as a conspiracy. And the reason is that Laura Logan and various others have made the point that we already have a history and a record of an operation called spoofing, which is when in the Middle East, this has happened on ships and in the Black Sea, where hacking is possible, where you can get a hold of a ship's navigation, its GPS. And what it will do is it will set in numbers or bearings that are saying to you you're on track, when in fact it's overriding it. Almost like if it goes into a software system at an election and says these votes are all legit, but it overrides it and changes the votes. You see how the parallel here could be interesting. And I say that because while everyone's fascinated with or obsessed with the supposed origin of the conspiracy and the cover-up, Steve Bannon has a great quote, which we use a lot. Basovic uses it. I use it. And it's a Navy quote, which means pay attention to the signal, not the noise. So there's always like a lot of noise going on, but then you want to check the signal. Torpedoes coming at a certain angle. With it is distracting other sounds to throw you off. The sonar gets confused. But follow that signal as a trajectory of what's happening. The signal here isn't the hacking of the dolly and the taking down of the Francis Scott Key's bridge. To me, the signal is that the bridge represents the nation and the national anthem. Francis Scott Key's wrote the national anthem at the location where the bridge went down. He was on a ship that was it was a British ship that had American sailors that were captured during the battle over Fort McHenry. And he was tasked as a lawyer with negotiating the release of British for Americans. But the admiral said, it's going to be a moot point by tomorrow anyway, because we've been given the order to take that fort. If they drop the flag, your men are all released. If they don't, well, then there's going to be continued hostilities. So the bombs bursting in air throughout that night was Francis Scott Key's staring at the bombardment to see what would happen to the flag. And the flag had survived the bombardment. And so this was a conflict between Britain and the United States, not in the Revolutionary War, but in 1812 to 1814. So what's significant is it is the national anthem. It became that in like 1831. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly, you know, streaming. For the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air. See, he was watching. That's what he was describing. Gave proof to the night that our flag was still there. When the bridge goes down, here's the signal. The flag's not still there. The bridge that connects us to our history as a founding revolutionary experiment in the people governing themselves is ending. The bridge represents the collapse of our connection to the era of our founding. The national anthem no longer is the national sentiment. The people that protest it, the Democrats that you know have their own deal about it, the corrupt government, the Republicans that allow the corruption, and the Democrats that now control all the branches of government, the unions, the school systems, the media, network television. It's a complete takeover of the institutions. The reason why we don't see it clearly is because, well, as Americans, we're distracted by the noise. We're missing the signal. The real story is the prophetic significance of the collapsing of the American icon dedicated to our founding as a nation, our national anthem. Now, that doesn't mean that we've lost it. It means, like all other things, you know, these things are signs in order to stir you up so that you could see what's really happening. And it really is about an awakening. Dutch Sheets had a dream 2 weeks before this happened, and the Lord told him to play a guitar and hit the C note. It was the key of C. And I found out that that was the key that Francis Scott Keys actually put the song in. And in that key of C, it was to be played. And it was a prayer that there would be a veil that would come off the minds of the United States. So I'm saying that we're okay being conspiratorial, but don't let the conspiracy become the signal. The signal is what God's saying with the bridge. Now, two, the cover-up. And I say there's a cover-up. And the reason I say there's a cover-up, and it's because the government could not know at the moment the incident happened that this is not a terror incident because of their knowledge of spoofing, meaning that there can be data hacking on board a ship. They would first have to verify that the data wasn't hacked, that the GPS wasn't taken over so that the captain and the ship late at night would be seeing that it's on the right heading, but then discovering that it's actually not on the right heading. It's actually veering off course, and the data might be misleading them until it's too late because it was done in such proximity with the current to the bridge that it was certain that it could be guided in. Now, of course, the ship goes out. You see the power fail. Well, the explanation that's given is, well, that could be fuel, corruption, the tank, the whole problem with the ship in the first place could have been something that had gone wrong with the fuel system or with the engines. But something came out that is hard to dismiss. And that is a 2-minute blackout of the data. It's almost like getting a black box. It's like the Epstein video and it wasn't working. Whenever you have a weird anomaly, like 2 minutes of something not working, you start to really raise your suspicions. Let's watch the report so you get what I'm talking about.
The ship was underway on a true heading of approximately 141. In the Fort McHenry Channel at a speed of over ground of approximately 8 knots, or 9.2 miles per hour. At 0124 and 59 seconds, numerous audible alarms were recorded on the ship's audio, bridge audio. About the same time, VDR sensor data ceased recording.
Hear that?
However, the VDR audio continued to record using the redundant power source.
Play it again.
However, the VDR audio continued to record burn on the ship's audio, bridge audio. About the same time, VDR sensor data ceased recording. However, the VDR audio continued to record using the redundant power source. At around 0126 and 2 seconds, the VDR resumed recording sensor data. And during this time, there were steering commands and rudder orders recorded on the audio. At around 0126 and 39 seconds, the ship's pilot made a general VHF radio call for tugs in the vicinity to assist. About this time, the pilot association dispatcher phoned the NDTA duty officer regarding the blackout. Around 0127 and 4 seconds, the pilot ordered the Dally to drop the port anchor and ordered additional steering commands. Around 127 and 25 seconds, the pilot issued a radio call over the VHF radio, reporting that the Dally had lost all power and was approaching the bridge.
There it is again.
Around this time, NDTA data shows the following also occurred. Their duty officer radioed two of their units that were already on scene due to construction on the bridge, one on each side of the bridge, and ordered them to close traffic on the bridge.
Okay, so then, of course, it hits the bridge. So what's interesting here is that at 1:24, the recording of the data ceases. Now, the audio continues. You could hear them yelling and shouting and alarms and all that stuff. But for 2 minutes, the data isn't accessible. Now, what data would that be? I don't know. The questions we have to ask is this. Is spoofing, this hacking of a digital control on a vessel, a vehicle, plane or boat, is it limited to the GPS, or can the hacking do more, such as produce a blackout, in which case you lose all motor ability? The frantic shouting of the captain regarding changing direction, steering, etc., could be that there was a misleading in the GPS that they were looking at, saying that they were okay and in a channel, when in fact they were not in the channel, but they were out of the channel and heading towards the key part of the structure that could take the entire 1.6-mile-long bridge down. So the two questions I've got, in order not to be conspiratorially crazy, is can hacking or spoofing, can it monkey with more than GPS? Can it affect the propulsion system? Can it cause a general breakdown of all electricity? Is that a sophisticated possibility? If so, it'd be important to know, because the GPS manipulation can be a verified thing if once the pilots are talked to and the data is recovered up to those 2 minutes, you could see whether or not they were seeing themselves on track and then discovering visually they're much closer than the indication was in the GPS. Not only much closer, but at an angle which is a trajectory that's going to hit the bridge. So my point is this. I think we can know if the GPS was hacked because we have a record of the angles of the ship and its entire journey. And if it is true that the heading was like 141, which is what he said in this video, was 141, what the visual shows for the tracking was 141 aligned with what the GPS was showing. And when did it go off? The point is, there's a way to know without really being super conspiratorial whether or not this could be an accident or whether it is an intention. And either way, my point to you and to all the community that is obsessing over Laura's report and who was behind it and all that conjecture, I agree. The CIA, the FBI, the intelligence services are lying through their teeth when they say at the time of the incident, this isn't terrorism. They don't know unless they've got the data. The fact that 2 minutes of data is out and all you have is audio makes me wonder what data would have been caught that was hidden. And was there indeed a correlation between what the pilots saw as GPS settings and what they ended up experiencing? Because if there is a disparity, well, you'll never know because you never get to talk to those pilots, do you? The government and the lawyers and the insurance companies buckle that up. But just the same, it's a verifiable fact at some point whether the GPS was hacked. Now, if there's if there is a silver lining to this, it could be that this could be the Lord warning us that the nation is in danger of collapsing, its bridge to its noble past is being lost, and that hacking might be the thing in the election that is the most dangerous about what takes place. The news blackout, as the blackout on the ship, the sudden manipulation. We have it in Dallas, by the way, without getting myself censored needlessly and having this video taken down. I can tell you, we just had one weird election happen this week in which Dallas County, it was revealed that they haven't recalibrated and adjusted their election machinery for years. And so suddenly they had votes that were given. The candidate himself who was running had his vote given to his opponent and he caught it. And so there was, had an election rally and everybody went and voted, but no votes were recorded. And then they showed up later. And then there was constant recalibration. He lost, of course, once the Dallas County system kicked in. Now, the woman who's in charge of the Republican Party, who will be given the responsibility for overseeing that and checking out a recount, Well, she received $5,000 as a donation from the Democrat running against this guy. So I leave it to your imagination to see how objective she is. But this is local politics, folks. And local is where the battle is. You can say what you will about Biden and America and the FBI, blah, blah, blah. You don't have the power, nor do I, to tilt with that windmill. You do have disproportionate power in your own backyard. There's 3,143 counties in the United States. 19 are going to determine the future of America. I'll publish what those 19 are. 7 swing states are the key. 4 are the legs of the table. Georgia, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin. We're going to be going. I'm going to be going. You're going to be going. Mara Morello is going to be going. Intercessors are going to be going. Worshipers are going to be going. A lot of us are going to be going, numbering in the thousands to those 19 counties. We'll have an event called the Courage Tour. Why? Because I think that it's going to require more and more courage as we get closer to that election, because the craziness on the left is reaching pathological levels. When you hear the language that's coming out now, I mean, I'm looking at Rob Reiner writing a tweet about how he's in danger. We're in danger of fascism if those 7 states aren't occupied by the people that want to centralize digital currency, facial recognition, open borders, collapsed economics. I mean, these guys think that fascism is the threat that we bring. They're certifiably nuts, but they know where these locations are. I want you to go to thecouragetour.com. Make sure you see when we're coming to Pennsylvania, coming to Nevada, coming to Carolina, coming to Georgia. We're going to start there on April the 11th. And listen up. You can put the word courage right now in the chat thread if you're on Facebook or on Instagram. This might be playing on YouTube. I can't account for that. But for Facebook and Instagram, you put the word courage in. I'll send you a link. And these places are going to fill up very fast because I think our movement is big. And, of course, people on the left are going to watch this, see this, and bot it and go, you know, fill it up with fake people attending or bad actors attending, for that matter. But we're going to do what we have to do because those 19 counties actually have the ability to be flipped. And they have the votes in there. That's why we're going. They just have to be awakened. There needs to be a spiritual force that goes into those states that somehow neutralizes whatever the blinding influence is that's in those counties. Because I think when Americans, patriots, when conservatives, when Christians awake to the fact that the bridge is out, that the connection with our past is about to be lost, that the flag isn't going to continue staying up. I think that there's enough of us, 85 million worth, so that if we can rouse ourselves up, I think we could save this thing, because I don't believe it's God's will that America goes down. I do think it's going to require a repentance, a dedication, a commitment, an engagement on the part of those that want to save the gift that God gave. Remember, you know, these are gifts. Jesus said that the sower sows, and at the time of harvest, tares are sowed and wheat is sowed, and the tares are the children of the evil one. That means Satan plants people. And, you know, we're not to be involved with uprooting people, but in a democracy, in a republic, you have the power to vote, and your vote can overwhelm fraud. It can overwhelm a rigged election. And that's what we have to do now. And the tares are planted all over these mountains of education, academia. They're in your local school system. They're advocating for the trans ideology that's going to your kids. And I think that at a local level, locally, you have the power to shift the environment. If you're in these states, Georgia or Arizona, I encourage you to join us. And if you're out of those states, you could still join us. It's kind of like the Grateful Dead tour. Just go with the revival. Mario Murillo will be doing evening meetings with signs, wonders, preaching of the gospel in that characteristically forthright fashion that he has. And we have 1,000 people come to Christ every night. The thing about our movement that makes it particularly powerful is we actually can multiply believers. The left can only gin them up, agitate them, deceive them, mobilize them, and put them on a payroll to go do destruction. Our side, on the other hand, can take a drug addict or a lost person and enlighten them with the offer of salvation and healing and freedom. And when they taste that and see it, we have an instant new recruit. And I think that's probably what we have to do The Democrat Party wants to flood America with 9 million illegals that they hope to make legal because they can't get the votes guaranteed from the people here because they're too miserable. So they'll bring in their votes. But nobody says we can't have 20 million people that come to Christ. And nobody says that those 8 million that come in are all locked up on the left. A lot of them share your values. They're just desperate for an opportunity. So the gospel has enormous power. And I think the devil knows that. And that's the reason why this moment is such an important moment and why Christians are under such attack. Because Jesus did say, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church is the only agency, when properly mobilized and aligned with heaven, that has authority to deal with the gates of hell. It's not going to be done by your favorite journalist or YouTube star. It's going to be done by the ecclesia, the church, going where the gates are located. The gates are located in 7 swing states. Out of 3,000 counties, 19 are consequential. We'll be there. Put courage into the chat thread. And I'll be looking forward to seeing you. And I think that God's hand is on America. By the way, you ready for this final thought? There's another little layer here. The boat, the ship's named Dolly. People are all trying to read into that, but I think it has to do with Salvador Dali, who was the eccentric French impressionist artist with the little mustache. A bizarre artist, talented. But I don't think there's significance in the ship. But the owner of the ship, the corporation that owns the ship, is called Grace. Get that. It's like Grace Sea Lines. So it's Grace is the name of the company, is the parent company that owns the Dolly. So at the end of the day, the grace of God is going to take us through to bring us where we've got to go. And I believe grace is going to be amazing in this next season. God's warning us. He's saying, hey, this is like Jesus went to the disciples on the night he was being betrayed. And he said, rise up and pray. Your spirit's willing, your flesh is weak. Let your flesh come under the authority of the Spirit of God, because great grace and empowerment's coming to America. Go to thecouragetour.com and put courage in the chat thread. Share this, will you? I haven't said anything that's too crazy. Your friends won't mind it. Share it, and let's do this together. God bless you.